Left off on the Gemara on Kuf Dalet Amar Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Gemara starts a whole agadah commenting on the first few psukim in Megillas Eicha, in Sefer Eicha. So the Medrash on Eicha has, but the Medrash has on the whole Sefer Eicha. Here the Gemara just has on the first few psukim. So the Gemara first has a comment. Why does it say Eicha? Left off on the Gemara on Kuf Dalet Amar Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Gemara starts a whole agadah commenting on the first few psukim in Megillas Eicha, in Sefer Eicha. So the Medrash on Eicha has, but the Medrash has on the whole Sefer Eicha. Here the Gemara just has on the first few psukim. So the Gemara first has a comment. Why does it say Eicha Yoshvo Bodod? Should be written Eich. Eicho is a strange construction of the word. Eich Yoshva Bodod. So the Gemara says, because the word Eicho is a gematria of 36, Chof and Yud is 30, and Hey and Vav is 6. So the gematria 36, the reason why they were punished so much, because they violated all the Lama Vav Krisa Samuriz Batayra. And the Gemara has a comment that the first, in Eicho there are 5 prokim. The first 4 prokem of Eicha go according to the Aleph Beis. The last perik is not at all, nothing to do at all with the Aleph Beis. But the first 4 prokem are based on the Aleph Beis. So the Gemara says, what does that represent? If they ma loko ba Aleph Beis, why is Eicha written al pi seder Aleph Beis? Because they violated the Torah shenitna ba Aleph Beis. Then the Gemara comments on Amad Beis, it's not exactly al pi Aleph Beis. In those 4 prokem, the first 4 prokem of Eicha, everything is up the Aleph Beis, so 3 out of the 4 prokim have the letters Pei and Ayin in reverse. Normally it should be Memnun, Samach, Ayin, Pei, so Ayin should precede Pei. So in the first capital in Eicha, the first chapter in Eicha, the Ayin precedes the Pei. The second, the third, and the fourth, it's out of order. So the Gemara says, why is that so? But so I like Pihen. About 15 lines from the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. How come that's out of order? We just said that it's supposed to be Al Pi Aleph Beis. Now all of a sudden the letters I and the Pei are out of order. So the answer is that the Pei represents the Pei, the mouth, and the Ayin represents the eyes. And the whole Churban Beis Hamikdash was because of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's how the Gemara says Bocho Tivka Balaylo, Balaylo, because of Vatisa Kol Ha'edo Vaitnu Askolam Ayivku Ha'am Balaylo Ha'hu. That's what the Gemara quotes in the middle of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the famous Agadah, that because of the Chet HaMeraglim, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. In the Chumash it's not that clear, but the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash points out that in Tehillim and in Yecheskel it says Mefurish like that, that on the occasion of the Chet Egel, the Ribbono Shel Olam already decided then and there that he's going to be machri of his Beis HaMikdash and he's going to send the Eden into Golus. So that's what we discussed on different times, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that it was Asid Lehechart. He already heard from the Nebuah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, Beruach HaKadosh, what's going to be, whether the second Beis HaMikdash would last, or that also would be Asid Lehechart. He said, "Beruach Hakodesh Mchaymohi Nivna Lehatiris Kesef Vimdelasi Latzot Natzor Alalu Acharet." So the Gemara in Yuma, in the end of the first parak, understands Mchaymohi to determine whether the Baisheni would be the ultimate Bais or it would also be Asid Lehicharev. In Yaluk Hakaymo, if one will have reshus to go back Shiva Sion after the Golus Bavel of 70 years, if everybody will leave Bavel and go back to Eretz Yisrael, then Nivna Lehatiras Kesef, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like made from metal. She'ein harekeb sholid bo, it will not rot. However, in Delisi Nosu Alelu Achoris, if it will be a Shvach Aliyah, then it will be like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut. She'harekeb sholid bo, that wood can rot away. So that's what the Ravid writes in Perek Vav in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he already knew Yadeh HaYa Ezra, She'asid Lehechoriv, just like Yadeh HaYa Shlomoy. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the days of the Meraglim, that it was Osed Lehechor. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told him, the Nevuah, on the occasion of the Meraglim. That's how the Gemara interprets. They cry, Bocha Tivke twice, Shtei Bechiyas Halol Olama. Here's the Gemara, 20 lines from the top of Kuf Dal and Mebeis. Why does it say, Bocha Tivke, Shtei Bechiyas Halol Olama? One goes on Churban Bayis Rishon, one goes on Churban Mikdosheni. The Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, everything is the punishment because of the Chet HaMeraglim. If not for the Chet HaMeraglim, so they would have entered Eretz Yisrael and would have been everything. Moshe Rabbeinu would have been alive and they would have built the Beis HaMikdash, and whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in has a kiyum la'olam ala'al me'alamim. So the Beis HaMikdash would never have mechorev in Eretz Yisrael. The Medina would not be chorev, but because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to punish them because of the Chet HaMeraglim, so he decided that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash will be osid le'chorev, and so on. So that's what the Gemara comments. How come the ayin and the pei are out of order? The whole Eichos, the first four prokim are alpi aleph beis, and the first kapitel in Eicho, everything is alpi aleph beis, and the second, the third, and the fourth prokim, the ayin is the reverse of the pei. So the Gemara says the reason why is because higdimu omru b'fihem ashal arol b'yeinehim. They said, the Meraglim said with their lips, but they didn't see with their own eyes. Normally you have to first see with your eyes, and then you say over what you saw with your eyes. Here the Meraglim is saying, how dangerous it is, how risky it is if the Jews will come to Eretz Yisrael, the Umasayim, and we'll wipe them out. There's no chance. We don't stand a chance to win the war. They didn't see any of that. This was all conjecture. So because they were shooting off their mouths, Omer b'fihem, mashallah, ro, b'yeinayim, so that's what caused the whole problem. So to be miramiz on that they said b'fihem, mashallah, ro, b'yeinayim, so that's why the second, the third, and the fourth prokem in Eicho have to pay before the ayin, have it out of order to allude to this problem. That was the cause of the whole trouble because of the Chet HaMeraglim. Then the Gemara continues on Kuv Dal and on. Gemara continues to darshan all the psukim. Echa Yoshua Badod. In Hebrew, the word in English, the two words. One word is alone, and one word is lonely. One is a person is alone. He has ein doimalo. A person is a super genius, the biggest tzaddik in the world, the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. So he's all alone, there's nobody in his category, but he's not lonely. But you say a person is lonely, that's Nebuchar Rachmanis, he's lonely. So the Rabban Shalom Gemeint, the Rabban Shalom wanted Vaishkan Yisrael Betach Bodod and Yaakov, the Rabban Shalom wanted Bnei Yisrael should be Bodod, should be the one and only Amman Ifchar, all alone, but not to be lonely, not to be sobbing and crying over the fact that they're alone. No, they'll be happy over the fact that they're alone. And they're, because of the fact that Bnei Yisrael sinned, so that's why it says, Echa Yoshua Badot, it's a different kind of Badot. It wasn't the Badot that the Rabban Shalom intended. It's a different kind of Badot. It was a Badot Ligriyusa, not a Badot Limalyusa. Then the Mark Darshan is more, all the Psukim, Hoiso Ki Almono. It says, Bnei Yisrael were not an almana. Almana means that the husband is dead, and the woman can remarry. So Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam like a marriage, and Eretz Yisrael with the Knesset Yisrael have a relationship like a marriage. The Bnei Yisrael are the husband, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the husband, and Bnei Yisrael are the wife. The relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, so we consider that the Bnei Yisrael as if they're the husband, and Eretz Yisrael is the wife. So here the psukim say Eretz Yisrael is like an almana, not a real almana. A real almana is goodbye. So there's no more the ishus is paka. So any other nation can decide to take over Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't let. It's ki almana, like ishus shalach baylul and dinas ayam v'daita lachzarei leho. So the mefarshim point out in both senses, both with respect to the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam cancelled all of his shaykhs, but any son. No, we're still married. He went on vacation. He went away without us. Okay, a good husband takes his wife on vacation when he goes to Florida. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is angry at us. So he went on vacation. He's punishing us. He left us behind. But he didn't sever the relationship. So he's still chayiv, habal chayiv b'mezaynus ish. He's still chayiv to take care of us. Still chayiv b'mezaynus. It's still chayiv in ksus. It's still chayiv in refuah. All the shibudi habal ish, they still apply. So the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of the Knesset Yisrael, even when he's punishing us. That's what the pasuk continues. Hoyser ki almana rabosi bagoyim. The next line in the Gemara, the second line from the bottom of Kuf Dalet and after the Gemara comments, Rabosi Bagoim Sarosi Bamdinas. What do you mean Sarosi Bamdinas? Wherever the Jews go, the last line on the Omen. B'chomokim Shem Holchem Nasim Storm La Danim. Wherever the Jews go into Golus, they always become vice presidents of the country and the prime ministers of the country. Like the Ramban HaChomish writes, Maisa Ob Siman Rabbanim, the fact that Yosef became the prime minister of Egypt, that was a Siman that throughout the history of the Jewish people and every Golus where they went, the Jews usually did very well and they went to the top of the society and they were running the government and that's what caused all the kin and the sin. Okay. but that was the Rebbe Shalom still felt an obligation to take care of Knesset Yisrael. So that's why it says, Hoiseki Almana, not an Almana Mamish. An Almana Mamish, the husband is no longer Mechuyuf, the wife has no longer any Shibudim. It's Ki Almana. There still is a relationship. The Rebbe Shalom didn't sever his ties with the Jewish people. That's how the Gemara quotes on Kufayim and Aleph. The Bnei Yisrael, about 15-20 lines from the top. The Novi tells Bnei Yisrael they should be Chayzeh B'tshuva. The Gemara is quoting from Zechariah, chapter Aleph, Perek Aleph. So the Novi tells Bnei Yisrael, Shuvu Eilai or Shuvu Aleichem, Bnei Yisrael should do tshuva. So they say, what do you mean do tshuva? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam destroyed the first Beis HaMikdosh. It's goodbye. It's like we are no longer the Yam HaNivcha, we are no longer Mechuyiv to keep Torah Mitzvahs. So that's what they said. Evet Shem Mechora Rabbi. Either Bnei Yisrael are like Bodim or like Avodim. Either one or the other. So they say, if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam considers us like an Evet, obviously he sold us to Nebuchadnezzar. He let Nebuchadnezzar destroy the Beis HaMikdash and capture all the Jewish people. So Evet Shem Mechora Rabbi, if the Odon sold his Evet to someone else, so the Avodim, who used to belong to the first Odon, are no longer mechuyev to dance to his tune, and mechuyev not to serve the second Adam. So what do we have to heat up the Yiddish religion for? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us over to Nebuchadnezzar, so we have to work for Nebuchadnezzar. We don't have to keep the Torah mitzvahs anymore. So that's what Bnei Yisrael said. Why should we do tshuva? What do you mean? The religion is no longer binding. Or if we're nikru banim, not nikru avadim, why are we nikru banim? Because of the relationship like the Tanakh describes Bnei Yisrael as achosi, as a sister, as a wife, as a daughter, as a, all of the expressions, all the lashanis of chibah together. So that's what the Gemara says. If we nikru avodim bisman shein osim etzono shel mokom, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim in kiddushin, the end of the first parak, whether bisman shein osim etzono shel mokom, so nikru avodim bisman shein osim etzono shel mokom, are they nikru avodim or not nikru avodim? It's a question. So here, that's what they say. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sold us into captivity. Says ein osim etzono shel mokom. Obviously, we sin. See, if we're like Avodim Nusa, he sold us. Evet Shem Mechora Rabbi. So there's no longer any claim. The Odom, the original Odom, can't have any more claims. And if we're still Nikru Bonim, why? We're not Nikru Avodim. Why? Because it's still the lovey-dovey relationship, like a husband and a wife, like a daughter, like a son, like a... all those Lashonis, Rayosi, etc. Yeah, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam divorced us. So if the husband divorced his wife, so what does he have tainus later on that he wants the wife? He divorced his wife, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam got rid of us. He sent us into Golus goodbye. So that's what the Navi responds. The Gemara says that this is what Bnei Yisrael said to Zechariah. Zechariah and Navi calls upon them, they should be Chizru B'tshuva. So they said to him, what kind of Chizru B'tshuva? Evet Shem Mechora Rabbi Vishu Shigir Shabbat V'klum Yesh L'zeh Al-Zeh Klum. What tainus can the first husband have? He divorced her. So the Gemara responds, it's not often the same Navi. The Gemara says that this was the conversation back and forth. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam answers back, Aydei HaNavi, what do you mean? I never divorced Knesset Yisrael, and I never sold them. Ezeh Sefer Krisi Simcha Masher Shelach Tiha, I never divorced them. If you want to view your relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as one of a marriage, he says, I sent you into Golos, I left temporarily, but I never gave a get. They're still married. She's not a real Almana, she's not a real Grusha. It's like the Ki Almana, like the husband went to Medina Sayyam, but he's going to come back. The relationship is still there. And if you want to view your status as Avadim, also, I never gave you over to, I never sold you to Nebuchadnezzar. I still own you as my Avadim. You sinned, and because of your Averis, that's why you were punished, but I never gave over the Bailus to Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara has another comment. In Tanakh, we find David Avdi. The expression appears David Avdi. That David was an Eved Hashem. It's a beautiful description of David HaMelech. But then you have Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. Nebuchadnezzar also Eved Hashem. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was an Apikoros. What kind of a lashon Nebuchadnezzar Abdi? So the Gemara says, what kind of a lashon is that? The Gemara says, Vayna Damar Shlokish Maitich in the middle of Kufayim and Aleph. The Gemara says, what kind of a lashon is that? Nebuchadnezzar Abdi. David Abdi, I understand. It's a beautiful expression. But Nebuchadnezzar Abdi. So the Gemara says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wrote this lashon into Tanakh, into Yirmiyah. The Nebuchadnezzar Abdi, because he knew that Bnei Yisrael were going to advance this taina, then Eved Shemachar Rabbi, if the Yodon sold the Eved to someone else, hey, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us over to the Nebuchadnezzar, he let the Nebuchadnezzar take us away, so we no longer are meshubed anything to the Rebbeinu Shalom, so we don't have to keep the religion anymore. So what does he want from us, Chizru B'tshuva? What does he want? So Rebbeinu Shalom says, what are you talking about? The Nebuchadnezzar is Nachmaina on Eved. Kol Mashikon Eved Kon Rabbi. When I take my Bnei Yisrael and I give him to the Nebuchadnezzar, like taking him from my right hand, putting him in my left hand. You still belong to me. You belong to the Nebuchadnezzar and he belongs to me. So you still are Avadim to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's how the Gemara suggests. So this is on the one level, the Pasuk says, Hoise Ki Almana, on the bottom of Kuv Dalem and Alf. Ki Almana V'lo Almana Mamsh. On the one level, it's referring to the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's one, that in Shir HaShirim and another place in Tanakh, it's described like a marriage. So the marriage is still kayach. The Rebbeinu Shalom never gave a get in Nishkin Almana. It's just ki almana, like Holach Baila L'Medina Sayam is coming back, and that's why the Pasuk says, Osay Rasay Ba Medina, so Rebbeinu Shalom is still mechuyev to take care of us. That's why he sees to it, Kamokim Sheim Olchim Nasim Sorim Ladanim. The Eden always do well. Even during the years of Golus, the Eden do well. And on the other level, that the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is one of a marriage, that Eretz Yisrael is like the wife and Bnei Yisrael is like the husband. So it's also, when the Eden left into Golus, it's not the Eretz Yisrael is now up for grabs and whoever wants can take it. No, it's Ki Almana, that the Bnei Yisrael are going to come back, and Eretz Yisrael is a good wife, and she doesn't let herself be taken over by the other nations of the world. That's how the Rashi points out on Chumash at the end of the Teichach in Bechukosai, that it says, "Shamu Alecha Oyvechem." So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash, "Shamu Alecha Oyvechem," that this is a Bsura Teiva Hili Yisrael, that the Pasuk says there's going to be a Churban Beis Hamikdash and a Churban Hamedina, and all the Yidden are going to be killed. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. "Shamu Alecha Oyvechem," that the enemy is going to be, the land is going to be desolate. So Rashi says, yeah, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, but this line is brought a Bsura Toiva to the Bnei Yisrael, that all the years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that the Eden weren't there, nothing grew. All the years that it was under the Turks, and under the British, and under the Christians, nothing developed, nothing grew, until the Eden took it back, and later, in the recent years, in the last 100 years, everything was growing again. And now that the Goyim took back certain parts of Eretz Yisrael that were by the Eden, so by the nothing is growing over there. Nothing is growing there. Kozman that is by the Eden, everything flourishes. When it's not by the Eden, isn't it? Because Eretz Yisrael is like a good wife. She knows she's only connected with the Bnei Yisrael. She has no connection with any other nation. So those are the two levels of Ki Almano Olei Almano Mamash. There never was a Gerishin, not between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and that between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The relationship is still present. Some of the Chidor in his commentary on the Ein Yankiv, it's not over here, I think it's at the end of Ksubis, he quotes from the Mekubalim, what is the concept of Golas HaShechina supposed to represent? The Gemara quotes different psukim, Kol Mokrin Shegol Yisrael, Golas HaShechina Imoy, whatever the Eden went into Golas, so the Shechina went along at the Golas with, what is that all about Golas HaShechina? So he quotes the Gemara Makkas, where the Gemara says, Talmud Shegolo, Maglin Le Rabbi Imoy. When the Talmud kills B'Shegeg and he has to go into the Ari Miklot, so the Pasuk says you're not supposed to punish him that he should suffer Behechlet, to suffer La'adul Yom Me'alamin. No, it says V'chaisham, V'nasa V'chasam, V'choi. What does it mean V'choi? So it's supposed to be a pleasant living day. You're supposed to have whatever people enjoy, libraries and shopping malls and theaters and whatever people would enjoy. You have to have a daf yomi shir in Ori Miklot. Yes. So if the Talmud has a Rebbe, a favorite Rebbe, so you have to send the Rebbe there to give a shir for the Talmud also. It doesn't mean if the Rebbe has 100 Talmidim and one Talmid goes in Torah Miklut, so you neglect this 99 and you send the Rebbe. It means that, let's say, if he was a private Rebbe. If he was a private Rebbe, he used to give him a private shiur, and now he goes into the Ori Miklot, and the Talmud who's in the Ori Miklot wants to continue the private shiur, and the Rebbe is not interested. What, does he have to go travel to the Ori Miklot? So the Halacha says he's supposed to go. So the Gemara says you have to see to it that he has a chiyus, that he should enjoy living there. So the Chidor quotes from the Mekubalim that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Bnei Yisrael into Golus, it's the same kind of a Golus. It's a punishment, like the Ori Miklot is a Golus, it's a punishment, but it's not supposed to be such a punishment. The Hechlet, we should suffer and suffer and suffer. No, he wants us to do well in the Golus. So Magna L'Rabba Yivu, so the Shekhinah goes along with us, and he's holding our hand, and he sees to it that we become vice presidents and viceroys and prime ministers, and the Jews are running all the economy and everything, and newspapers and everything. They're in control of everything in the world. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Kol mokum shehem hokum, wherever the Jews go into Golus, nasim sarim ladanei. That's what he means, sarosid damdinas. When they go into Golus, so the Baruch Shalom wants that they should enjoy it. It shouldn't be absolutely miserable.
If the Rebbe goes into Golus, the Talmud has to go with him.
I don't think so. That doesn't appear in the Gemara, unless the Rebbe needs the Talmud in order to say a shir. He needs someone to bounce his chidush Torah over. He'll find somebody there already in the Ori Miklot. I don't think so. It just says in. He lived in his home. Some say as a little boy lived in his home. Yeah. That's what they have in the biography books. They quote the some say as a bar mitzvah. Bacha said his own shtigl Torah. So his shtigl Torah was he said over something from the Elta Zeta, from the Marsha Shach and the Kais Yeshua. So the Kais Yeshua, I don't know. And then he shloved it up. So his father, some say his father was a balabas, a frumin balabas, a yedeh sefer, but he didn't know who's right. So he slapped him in public and he says, how do you have the chutzpah to disagree with the Elta Zeta? A little kid, 13 years old, says a shtigl Torah, says a shtigl Torah from the Elta Zeta, and he shlugs it up. So the Rav Nosson Adler said to him, why did you slap him? He knows what he's talking about. The Elta Zeta is wrong and the little boy is right. So he told Rav Moshe Seif, he told him he should move out of his father's home. Because every time he's going to want to say a shtigl Torah, the father's going to get angry. He's going to ask a kasha on the Rambam, so the father's going to slap him. How do you have the right to ask? I'm going to ask a shver gemara, the father's going to slap me. Not allowed to ask any kashas, not allowed to say a shtigl Torah. So he was afraid, Rav Nosson Adler was afraid, he's going to kill the father, he's going to kill the chsam sefer, the son's incentive to learn. You have to have a little chutzpah when you learn, you have to have a little gall. When people learn, they have to have a little chutzpah to push, that's what the halacha requires, in order to push, in order to discover new insights. And then when the person discovers some new insight, he should realize that he's learning Torah, you're learning about the Rabbanu Shalom. So once the person discovers some new insights, it means he's coming closer to the Rabbanu Shalom. When you come closer, then you have to recoil, like it says in last week's Sedra, Yasta Moshe Panov Ki Yare Mehabita Hu Elokim. When you realize that you're in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shlom, so you have to be nichna, you have to have humility. So when a person is first learning, he has to learn with a little bit stolzkeit, with a little bit geifer. He has to have a little chutzpah and arrogance to think that he may succeed in discovering something. And then when he realizes that he did discover something, then he has to step back with humility. He just discovered new secrets about the Rebbeinu Shlom. He's bamish in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shlom. So Rav Nosson Adler was afraid. The father's not going to let the son develop. He's going to keep on screaming at him. So he told him he should move out of the father's home. He moved into his home. And he had a daughter. He wasn't interested. His daughter didn't marry the son. Apparently they were not the same age. It wasn't that he wanted him to move in because he had his eye on him to marry his daughter. His daughter married someone else, and he married someone else. Then the Gemara tells the famous story. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara goes the first 20 lines on Amud Beis. Such a bizarre story that at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, so one of the Nochrim captured two Yidin. So the captor over here is the way the two Yidin are talking to each other. And one of them says that the camel that's going in front of us is blind on one eye. And the two people who are going with the camel, One of them is a Yid, one is a Goy, and he says the one on the left side, whatever, he says one of them is a Yid, he tells him which side, and the other one is a Goy. So the captor looks at them and he says, you guys are crazy, what are you making up Baba Mises? Camel is blind on one eye, how do they know what they're talking about? So he was. So they explained to him why. They both explained to him why, because the camel only ate, kept on nibbling from the food on the side of the road, only nibbled from one side of the road, didn't nibble from the other side. So obviously it's blind on one eye, so it only sees food on this side, doesn't see the food on the other side. So it only eats the food that it can see. And then how do they know that there are two people who are taking care of the camel, one is a Yid, one is a Goy? Because they saw there was Merag Laim Shel HaCamel. That was in the middle of the road. And then there's Merag Laim of a human being also on one side of the road. Every couple of miles they saw human Merag Laim. And then on the other side, they didn't see the Merag Laim of the human being, were far away. So they assumed it must be that the Nochri, on one side there was a Nochri who was going with the camel, and he was not embarrassed, and he would be Matal Merag Laim right in the middle of the street, the same place where the camel would. And the Yid was Tzanua, so he would be Matal Merag Laim far away from the road. Then they said there are two barrels on either side of the camel. One barrel has oil, and one barrel has wine. And she said, well, making up stories. It turned out that that's exactly what it was. He chased after them and he saw that's exactly one is a Yid, one is a bird, blind on one eye. How do they know that it's going to be that one barrel on the side of the camel is oil and one barrel on the other side of the camel is wine? Because they saw that there were leaks, there was dripping the whole way, and the oil was on the surface of the ground, and because the oil rises to the top, and the wine dripped in, and it sank in into the mud, into the dirt. So the Gemara says that he was so spoiled that this guy took them as his captors after the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, and then he saw these guys are super geniuses. So he chapped the spoilers. So what does the Gemara say? Radef acharem, about 15 lines from the top of Amud Beis, after they tell the whole story. Radef acharem, the Nochri chased after the camel in front of them, a few miles ahead. And he saw exactly as the two Eden said, that's what it was. They came back and he kissed them both on their heads, Mishakam al Rosham, and he made a party for them, and he said, blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has an Amar Nivcha, the Klal Yisrael, they're different from all the other Umas Oilam, and they have super intelligence, and he gave the Klal Yisrael his Chachma, Shacholak Mechachmasa Liyireyav, more so than to the Umas Oilam. That's what the Nochri said. Whenever they're taken into captivity, we see they always go to the top, to the head of the cliffs, and they're always the brightest and so on. And he released them, even though he took them as slaves, he had captured them to keep them as slaves. He decided he can't keep these two guys as slaves. They're super geniuses, they send them back home. Then the Gemara comments on the second part of Ganecha, Bocha Tivke Balailu. We spoke already, Bocha Tivke the two Bechias. And Balailu, Bocha Tivke Balailu, because of the Laila, the Bechia of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is because of the Bechia of Tisa Kolei, the Yitzim Eskulam, Eskulam, Ayipku, Ha'am, Balailu, Ha'u, because of the Bechia on the occasion of the Miragi. The Gemara has his other interpretations. What does it mean, Balailu? Different drushes on the Balailu. The Gemara tells a story that in the daytime it's very noisy. Nighttime is nice and quiet, so when you hear somebody cry at night, you can hear it better. One of the suggestions of Balailu is, people will cry along with you. And they tell a story about Rabbi Gamliel, that one of his neighbors lost a son, and she was crying at night, and Rabbi Gamliel heard her crying, so he started crying also till the hairs on his eyelids, Riseyenov, fell off because he was crying so much. So when the Talmidim the next day realized that Rabbi Gamliel was crying all night long because he heard the neighbor crying, so they pressured the neighbor she should move out of the neighborhood. She shouldn't keep Rabbi Gamliel up all night to aggravate him. He won't be able to prepare the shiur. He won't be able to say good shiur. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that during the history of the Klal Yisrael, sometimes the Jews would cry Balailo, and others would cry along with them. Sometimes. When the Jews would cry, others would cry with them. Kol HaBocha Balailo, Hashemel kala boche kinegda, others cry along, like Rabbi Gamliel cried along. And sometimes it's, like the Gemara says, sometimes balayla, the kochavim and mazalos are crying along, that's all. The other nations of the world are not crying along. The heavens are crying with us. That's a bad one. That's what he commented in the middle of the Second World War. He gave such a drush. So he said, no one's crying along with the Yidin. It's just Shemaim, HaKuchav HaMazolos HaBoichim Yidin. This time it wasn't a Pchina Balayla, Kala Shemek Kala Balayla Boichim Kenegdo. No one is crying with us. Different kufis in the history of the Klal Yisrael. Then the Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk and Eicho also, Lo Aleichem Kol Oivrei Derech. We use that expression, Lo Aleichem. So he died at a younger age, Lo Aleichem. Or so, someone got cancer, Lo Aleichem. So what kind of a Lashon is that, Lo Aleichem? You should Chalila not suffer from such a sickness like that person has. The Eicho takes it that you should suffer. So it sounds as if it's some kind of a Nichush. That because I said somebody died from cancer, someone lost his wealth, or he lost his job, or whatever, because I said it to you as if it's going to be a bad omen for you. So I have to say Lo Aleichem, so it shouldn't happen to you. So that's Rashi has different interpretations over here. So one interpretation Rashi says is Eimo Mishum Nichush. The Gemara is lining up in this pasuk. That although it seems a little bit to be nichush, what am I worried about? Just because I say, so the guy died from cancer, to us, what does it have to do with you? What do I have to say, present company excluded? What do I have to add on, lo aleichem? So you see from the pasuk in Tanakh that's not a violation of nichush. People talk like that, and it's not an issue. Mikar lekuvlono min ha-Torah. That's one of the three pshatim that Rashi has. Kuvlono means that it's not an issue nichush. Rashi has other pshatim. That's one of the pshat. That it's not a nisa nichush. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk, and Eicho also vayikdal avon basami mechatas sedom, that the avera that Klal Yisrael did at the time of the Churban Abayis was worse than Sedom. Wait a minute, if it was worse than Sedom, so the Gemara asks on the third wide line, v'chimas apanim yesh bedover. So how come we weren't punished more than Sedom? I mean, the Rebbe Shalom plays favoritism. Even though the Jews sin more than Sodom, but we are the favorite nation, we're the Yaman Nifchasi, let's just get away with all the shtick. So the Gemara says, no, midiser hosev Yerushalayim, shalhosev is dom. No, there's still a difference. So what do you mean there's still a difference? That Rashi has two pshatim over here. So one pshat in Rashi is, the Avera that we did was worse than Sodom, but on the other hand, the Yidu Rahman and Baishanim Gamalich HaSodom had made us tevis. Sodom was miserable, all the Averas that they did were terrible. We did the same. We did often the same averes, but we weren't miserable like them. And Sodom, because they were miserable, so that's why they were punished more than us. That's the one pshat that Rashi interprets in the Gemara. Then Rashi gives a different pshat in the Gemara that it's vaker. That the question was if the Yidden sinned, if their sin was greater than Sodom. The sin was greater than Sodom, so the question is, how come we were not punished a greater punishment than Sodom? So the answer is, we were punished greater than Sodom. That by Sodom, you don't find that they were eating their children? What does the Gemara say? That was a terrible punishment. That punishment you never found by Sodom, because by Bnei Yisrael, on the occasion of the Churban Abayis, they sinned to an extent that was worse than Sodom. Rashi has two pshatim of what the answer. The question of the Gemara was if the Avera was greater than Sodom, Mechata Sodom, if the Avera of the Bnei Yisrael was worse than Sodom, why weren't we punished greater than Sodom? So the Rashi has two interpretations what the answer was. Whether we had Midas Tevis that offset it, so that's why we didn't deserve such a great punishment, or Taka, we were punished worse than Sodom. Then the Gemara says, much of the suffering that Bnei Yisrael had, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Ochli Am Yochel Lechem, Hashem Lo Karo. Those who were eating up the Jewish people, the enemies of the Yidden, who were causing us grief and suffering, so they were eating us up. Ochli Lechem, the Gemara has an interpretation. Poshim Shat means that they were eating up the Jews, they were killing the Jews like one would eat bread. The Gemara has an interpretation that only angel's bread is the most delicious, and only the Yidden know how to bake delicious bread. The Goyim don't know how to bake delicious bread. So the Goyim, when they want to have a Tam of Lechem, Kol oichem lach mishoy Yisrael toim tam lechem. Ein oichem lach mishoy Yisrael eile toim. Real tam lechem is only if it's baked by Yid. That's an additional interpretation. So anyway, the pasuk in Tilin, chapter Yudalit, is about 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Dalit base. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, which is describing the Yom HaSoilam causing suffering to the Bnei Yisrael. So it says, what caused all of this? Because Hashem lo karo, because the Yid didn't not call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that refer to? Hashem lo karo. It's all our fault. The punishment is all our fault because Hashem lo karo. What does that refer to? Hashem lo karo. So the Gemara has two pshatim. Rav ama elu adayonim, ushmo lama elu melamdi tinoikas. So the Gemara has the two suggestions. One suggestion is it refers to the dayonim. The dayonim are supposed to be God-fearing people. They're supposed to give a mishpatem. It's not supposed to be ma'aves es adin. So because the dayonim, the rabbanim were Hashem lo karo, they would have false dinei Torah. They didn't care what the Rabbanu Shalom had to say. Everything was based on politics. So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom brought upon us the churban. The other interpretation anymore has Hashem lo karo refers to the melamdi tinoikas, that people are teaching Torah are supposed to realize what the serious responsibility it is that they have. And Rashi refers you to the pasuk. The Gemara in Bava Basra quotes that pasuk. Orosim alachas Hashem ramiya. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of Bava Basra that a different thing. Orosim alachas Hashem ramiya. The Gemara has a pasuk that says Rei nasati eschem, Rei limadati eschem chukim mishpatim. Kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught you the Torah, kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi. So the Pasha Pshat is, as Hashem commanded me to teach you the Torah, that's what I did as instructed. I taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. That's the Pasha Pshat. So the Gemara has a Mechiras and a Kiddush and another Mesich. This Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Re'eli, marati eschem, chukim mishpatim. I taught you the Torah in the same way the Rabbanu Shalom taught me the Torah. Kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi. Not I taught you the Torah as commanded by Hashem. I taught you the Torah the same way the Rabbanu Shalom taught me. Just like the Rabbanu Shalom when I was in High Sinai. He didn't charge me any schar limud. There was no tuition charge when Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the Torah. So too when Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Bnei Yisrael, he's teaching the Chinam. And he's mentioning this. Re'eli marti eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi ma'ani b'chinam afata b'chinam. I didn't have to pay schar limud to the Rabbanu Shalom, and you would have to. You didn't have to pay me schalimin when I taught you. What is he driving at? That's the din l'doris. Whenever a Rebbe transmits the Torah to the Talmidim, he's not allowed to charge schalimin. So the Gemara asks in the Dorim, but the Mishnah implies clearly that when the Rebbe, when the Malamed teaches little children in Cheder, they do charge schalimin. The Mishnah talks about a person took a neder not to get hanoer from the Malamed, and then the Malamed teaches his children b'chinam. So if the Malamed is teaching his children Mechinim, so the Mishnah says he's getting Hanoah, because normally the Malamed used to take salary, he used to take a Schiris. And the Mishnah says, Beferish, that you're allowed to take Schiris for teaching Torah Shebichzav. Malamed, Talmud, you're allowed to teach him Torah Shebalpeh, because you're not allowed to take any Schar. But Torah Shebichzav, you do charge for that. So the Gemara says, what's the head to the charge for teaching Torah Shebichzav? So the Gemara has the two suggestions. The Gemara has one suggestion, that whom do you teach Chumash to? Little children. Once the children are older, so you start teaching Mishnayos, and then they're older, so you teach Gemara. So you're teaching Chumash to little children, so the Malamed is entitled to a salary because he's a babysitter. In addition to being a Malamed, he's also a babysitter. Schar Shmira. He has to make sure that the children don't fool around, they don't run away. So that every malamed, tinoikis, little children, is allowed to take a salary because of schar shimur. The Gemara has another suggestion. Maybe it's not so much schar shimur. Maybe it's schar pisuk taimin. Because bizman haTanach, when they taught, bizman haTalmud, when they used to teach Tanach, they used to teach with the trup. They used to teach with the trup. And the Gemara has a machlekes in the Dorm Daf Lamed Ches, where the trup is a din deraisa, a trup is a din derabbanan. So the Gemara says, if trup is a din deraisa, that's how we assume. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Ezra, Mefirash v'sum secha. That when Ezra was laying Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah in the Beis Hamikdash, so they laid Mefirash v'sum secha. They laid with the trup. The Gemara says v'sum secha means that trup gives you a better understanding of what the pshat is in the psuk. Supposed to give a better understanding of what pshat is in the psuk. That's how they tell the Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky and their others also. They understood Tanakh so well, and they knew the secret of the trop so well. You can give them any pasuk in Tanakh, and they'd be able to figure out what the trop is for that pasuk, because they understood. If you know the pshat and the pasuk, and you know what the trop is supposed to represent, you'd be able to figure out what the trop is. There are a few people left in the world who know the secret of the trop, but you got to know pshat and the psukim also, in order to know what the trop is supposed to be on any given pasuk. So we assume la halacha that trop is their isa. So just like you're not allowed to charge money for teaching the psukim, so you're not allowed to charge for teaching the trop either. But the Gemara has this mandam in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is that the reason why the melamed tinoikis is allowed to charge schiris by the parents for teaching chumash is because it's chad pisa tanya, and the trop is only the rabbanon, so that you're allowed to charge money for. Yeah, but this is only nicha if you're teaching little children. So you have the tam that we accept halacha is that it's char shimur, that it's you're babysitting. Malamed is a babysitter, so that's what he has to discipline them. He has a right to charge for that. And according to the other opinion, we don't accept halacha, it's a schar pisik taimim, that you're charging for the truck. What if a person is teaching older children, post high school, and there's no discipline problem? Let's say he doesn't discipline them, and he's not teaching any trop, and he's teaching all the din of their eyes. He's explaining all the psukim chumash and teaching. So what's the heter to take any salary? So the Gemara says in the end of Ksubis, the Gemara says that it's schabatola. Schabatola means that he doesn't take a salary for teaching the Torah. He says, I want to teach Torah for nothing, but I have to make a living. So if I'm going to have to go get a full-time job, so I won't have so much time to prepare the shiur. So if you want me to give a shiur, I'm not going to charge you for teaching Torah, but I have to ask you to pay me not to take a job. So if they pay him not to take a job, so then the Torah that he teaches, he can teach for nothing. So the how do we get involved in this? I forgot already. So the shot is like this: if a person has a job, let's say a guy's a garbage collector, or someone works in a school, a professor teaches French, or he teaches psychology, whatever. So there's no halacha that he's mechuyev to teach for nothing. He has a right to charge a salary. So whoever gets paid a salary, so there's halacha, ha'poel mechuyev lavad b'chol koichai. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Chiris, we learned that from Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov says, aten yidaten ki b'chol koichi, ovarati es avichem. This is a Gemara in the end of Bob Mitzir. The Gemara learns that there's a difference between a shamachinim and a shamasochar. Shamasoch has to watch harder than the Shamachinim. Not just that the Shamasoch is chayv and grave, but the Shamachinim is not chayv. But it means that the Shamasoch or grave Aved is considered a pshia, because the Shamasoch is b'chayv to watch harder. That's how the Gemara says. Why is b'chayv to watch harder? Because he's a poil, because he gets salaried in order to watch. So if you're salaried, say b'chayv, ha-poil b'chayv lavet, b'chol koichet, you have to work more conscientiously than if you're just the Shamachinim. So if, let's say, a person is a professor, he teaches secular studies, and he's entitled to get salary, and they get a salary, he agreed to the job to get that salary. So then the halacha says, what's to be mechayv the Rebbe to teach seriously? The Rebbe is not salary. The Rebbe is teaching for nothing. They only pay him schar batalah. They pay him not to take on another job. He doesn't take on another job. That he does 100% be'emunah. He doesn't take on the other job. Fine. But then the question is, the teaching of Torah he does for nothing. So that you can't have any tightness if he doesn't prepare. You may decide that it's not worth it for you. In the end of the year, you see that the Talmidim haven't learned enough. This guy did a good job of not taking on an outside job, but he didn't do... That's what he's paid for, not to take on 100% good. He didn't take on an outside job. That he did fulfill the 100%, didn't take an outside job. But what he's doing, the teaching of the Torah, he's not doing a good job. So at the end of the year, he may assess the situation that it doesn't pay. So the Hanhal of the Yeshiva may decide to drop him. But what's to be mechayv the Rebbe to work conscientiously to prepare the shiur, that he should say a good shiur? There's no halacha, he does for nothing. The teaching of the Torah does for nothing. So that's what the Gemara Baba Basra digs up a different pasuk. It's not based on the din of poem mechuyev lav b'chol koichi. It's the pasuk that Rashi is alluding to over here. The pasuk says, "Oros emalachas Hashem remiya." The Gemara quotes it in the second parak in Baba Basra, that pasuk in Mishlei. That the Gemara says that that when David HaMelech, when was it? When David HaMelech went to wipe out Amalek the first time around, So he only killed the men, he didn't kill the women. So the Gemara said, why did he only kill the men, not kill the women? Because the Malamed taught him wrong. Or the Malamed didn't hear that he heard it wrong. That he thought that Timcha Zecha Amalek only goes on the men, not on the women. And the Gemara says he wanted to go kill the Malamed later on because the Malamed was negligent. He wasn't conscientious enough to make sure that the Talmidim got it straight when they were learning in Cheder that Timcha Zecha Amalek applies both to the men and to the women. So the Gemara quotes this Pasuk, Orosim Alachas Hashem Remiya. So that's what Rashi is alluding to over here also. Rashi says, Malamdi Tinoika Shoisim Alachtam Remiya. He's alluding to that Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hashem Lo Koro. Ochli Ami Ochlo Lechem. The Pasuk in Tilim says, when the nations of the world torture the Jews and they cause us to suffer, it's our fault because we sin. What's the sin? Hashem Lo Koro. So the Gemara has a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. What is it alluding to? So the one pshat is Dayonim. The Dayanim are supposed to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki HaMishpat L'Elokim Hu. They're supposed to realize that the Shechina is with them. Elokim Nitzal Ba'adas Kel. It was Hashem Lo Koro. They weren't giving a Din Torah based on the assumption that the Shechina is with them to help them Paskin. And according to the other Pshat, it refers to the Malamdi Tenoi, because Malamdi Tenoi is also the teaching Torah. They're supposed to realize that the Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's... And they're fooling around. The Malamdi Tenekas are Oisim Alachas Hashem Ramiya. They're not serious about it. So Gemara says, this is what caused the Churb. This is part of what caused the Churb.
Part you heard in the Chorus,
they mentioned that there was an uproar that
some people took
the
Schar to be decided
with Kip. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take Schar not only for teaching Torah, Anotel Schar Lekadesh, to mix in the Paraduma ashes with the water. Anotel Schar Lodun, Anotel Schar Lahoid, Anotel Schar to do any mitzvah. To be mazed Paraduma water. You're not allowed to take money to do any mitzvah. The original pasuk goes on teaching Torah. Mani mechinam afata mechinam, but the Gemara extends it to all mitzvahs atar. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you're mechuyif to do, so you're not allowed to Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara says. Hashavas Aveda. That's the famous in Yoredei. In the end of Yoredei, it says that the doctors are a doctor who knows medicine is obligated to heal the sick. Midin Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara says earlier in Sanhedrin that if I dropped a nickel, if I dropped a penny in the street, there's a chiv Hashavas Aveda and Hashavas Pruta above. So Hashavas Gufa Lakoshkein. If the person's body, if he's sick, the Gemara is talking if the fellow is lost in the treating a Nochri on Shabbos. When he treats a Nochri, so treat a Nochri, you're not Mechuyev. There's no Hashavas Aveda to a Nochri, so I'm not Mechuyev. So there, if I want to treat a Nochri, I'm entitled to charge money. So then, Fekta Akasha, how can the doctor take Schiris on for treating the Nochri on Shabbos? That's what he's talking about. The doctor went, they sent a horse and a buggy, there was only one doctor in Presburg, and happened to be a Frumayi. So the Nochri farmer was sick, and he sent a horse and a buggy, and the doctor went Chutz L'Tchum. And they were Ma'arai, the doctor was a treating a Nochri on Shabbos. When he treats a Nochri, so treat a Nochri, you're not Mechuyev. There's no Hashavas Aveda to a Nochri. So I'm not Mechuyev. So there, if I want to treat a Nochri, I'm entitled to charge money. So then, Fekta Akasha, how can the doctor take Schiris on for treating the Nochri on Shabbos? That's what he's talking about. The doctor went, they sent a horse and a buggy. There was only one doctor in Presburg, and happened to be a Frumayi. So the Nochri farmer was sick, and he sent a horse and a buggy, and the doctor went Chutz L'Tchum. And they were Ma'arai, the doctor was in violation of Tchumim in order to treat the Nochri, what's that? So Chamsev works through the whole tshuva that is not a problem. Says it's only the Rabbanan and it's Eva and it's a Sakana, they're going to make a pogrom if you don't treat the Nochri. And then he discusses, and what about getting paid salary? What's the Schar Shabbos? He's talking because he's treating Nochri. Treating Nochri, you are allowed to charge money. So then Fekta Kasha, so he gives a yeshiva on that. Why are you permitted to take salary for treating the Nochri on Shabbos? But if it would be talking about treating a Yid on Shabbos, Bechlal, it's not a problem. That's not Schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to take any money for treating the Yid. You have to do Bechinim. So the money that they pay is the Schar Batola, that I didn't take a job all week long. So everybody has to share equally to pay for my not taking a job all week long. I can't ask the people who live, let's say I'm a doctor, I live in Washington Heights, I'm a doctor. I can't ask the people in Flatbush, the people in Queens, what shaykhs, why should they pay me not to take a job? What is their interest in? But the people in the neighborhood to whom I service, it's in their interest that I should not take a job all week long. So they have to pay me not to take a job, so I'll be able to be free all week long to treat them b'chinam.
You can't say I can get you a doctor that doesn't charge money. The doctor doesn't charge money, he's not a good doctor.
Yes.
What
does it have to do with that? That a doctor who doesn't take schar batola. Right, so that's what the Gemara says, Morgan Shabbos. We recommend it's better to go to a doctor who is relying on this for his parnasa. Because if he just does it on the side, so then he may not be up to date. If he knows that his whole parnasa hinges on this, so he's going to be up to date. He's going to read all the latest publications, and he's going to know all the latest techniques and all the latest procedures, and he'll give the proper medical treatment. How come it's the same? So good to kasha. How can it be that? How can it be that you charge the same? A Yiddish from a doctor charges the same, whether he's treating a Nochri or treating a Yid. If he treats the Nochri, he has a right to charge. Treats a Yid, he's only Schar Batola. How does it turn out to be exactly the same?
That's
a good Tekasha. How can a Yiddish doctor, who most of his patients are Yidin, how can he take the same salary as a Nochri who treats Nochri? The Nochri has a right to charge money. He's not Mechuyev and Hashavas Haveda. And the Yid is only taking a Schar Batola and he does for nothing. He's supposed to take the same as a Malamed. Malamed is supposed to take the same salary as a doctor. So that's a good Tekasha. How does that turn out to be? How did the Yiddish from a doctor get the same salary as the Nochri doctors? It's a good Tekasha.
What about if you take money just to work in one child?
Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch there is a din of Schar Shabbos. So there's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. What about Schar Shabbos b'makom mitzvah? Let's say Bal Tekeya. All he does is blow shofar, Bal Kori, and he doesn't prepare in the weekdays. All he does is on Shabbos. Are you permitted to take Schar Shabbos b'makom mitzvah? So Rashi says on the original Gemara, Schar Shabbos is in Mov Mitzi and Perek Hazal. Anotol Schar Lishmaras Hapar Lishmaras Hatinoi. So Rashi learns that it doesn't mean a babysitter. Rashi learns Lishmaras Hapar goes on Par Aduma. Lishmaras Hazroim, these are the Zroim that we want to cut for the Omer Shtei Alechem. It's B'makom Mitzvah. And Lishmaras Hatinoi are the Tinoikas who are being trained to do the Par Aduma. So Rashi learns the whole Tosefta. That's a Tosefta in Bav Metzia. So Rashi, it's quoted in Bav Metzia. I don't think it's a Tosefta in Bav Metzia, but it's quoted in Tosefta from a different Masechta that's quoted in Maseches Bav Metzia. So Rashi learns on the Tosefta, the whole Tosefta, all the three cases are all B'makom Mitzvah, and it still says in the Tanoim, in the Tosefta, that Schar Shabbos is Osir, despite the fact that it's B'makom Mitzvah, Lishmaras Haparo, Lishmaras Hatinoik, and Lishmaras Hazroim, everything is B'makom Mitzvah. It's all for Paraduma, or for the Omer Shtei Alechem. So we don't pass them like Rashi. In the Shulchan Aruch, they pass them whatever, it's B'makom Mitzvah, so then there's no, that's how Mishnah Berurah says, the meaning is L'Hakel. And whenever it's B'makom Mitzvah, there's no Issa Schar Shabbos. There's no Issa Schar Shabbos. Yeah. We treat it as if the Issa Schar Shabbos is like, that you're not allowed to do secular activities on Shabbos. Even if anything that you do that you're getting paid money for, the fact that you're getting paid money, making a panasa from it, so that labels it as a secular activity. because making a living is a secular thing. But if he's doing a dvar mitzvah, so that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is a mitzvah.
Says that in Isha's Rebbe Sabai, the Yudakim has 7 days a week,
Shaloba Mokha Mitzvah, you're not allowed to take off, yeah. There's a problem on Mexico's Chag Shabbos, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe the doctor should also be a problem on Mexico's Chag Shabbos, even though it's not actually Chag Shabbos. Because the doctor doesn't get, he's not getting paid for the treatment he does for nothing gets paid for not taking a job. I don't know. Got to look into that. Could be that there would be a problem on Mechzi. Could be.
I want to understand, it starts with the Easter Shabbos. It's not trying to say it's Korbat Cholah on Shabbos, because you wouldn't work something up on Shabbos.
Okay.
So shouldn't there be an Easter to teach, to get paid for a Rav to do the Shabbos? Because he's being paid for the leave, not to just teach. It's not trying to say it's Korbat Cholah.
I mean, how is he allowed to get paid? Because mani bechinam, afata bechinam, you're asking. It depends if he goes specially to the, if he lives in this community anyway, and he's going to learn anyway on Shabbos, and then he just straightens himself a little bit more. So, mistama, that's a problem. How is he allowed to take money? It's mani bechinam, afata bechinam. He's not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah, for performing any mitzvah. But if you make him schlep out to go to a different community, he's a little bit out of his way. So stomach for that, he does have a right to ask for payment. Just have the shayla of Schar Shabbos. How's he allowed to? So we assume Schar Shabbos Makam Mitzvah is mutter. What? There is such a din, Schar Shabbos Bavlo is mutti, yeah, but you don't need it over here. Even if all the preparation is done on Shabbos, if it's for Mokka Mitzvah, then we pass on this mutta. Let's say Abal Kuri, he doesn't prepare a stitch of work on Chol. He does all, the whole Achana prepares on Friday night. I used to have a Chavrusa, he knew all the trot by heart. So when he was a Abal Kuri, he used to lean over the whole parsha on his way walking to Shul on Shabbos morning. I remember I once walked with him. He was saying over the whole, that was his whole Achana. He was saying over the whole Sedra, on his way to shul. So he didn't, there was no haplot. So the din is, strictly speaking, Schar Shabbos is mutter, but Mokka Mitzvah. So it's a Mokka Mitzvah is mutter. Yeah. Then this Gemara we discussed already last week. Who were the ones who made this determination? Who's not going to get Olam Abod? How did they know? Baruch HaKodesh, yeah. Then they wanted to add Shlomo HaMelech, and the Baskel came out and said, take it easy. I don't want Shlomo HaMelech to be on the list. They were going to determine that Shlomo HaMelech Zayin L'Chel Ke'ol Mabo. Then, so then the Muz Diyukten Shal David appeared, and then nothing had geholfen, and then the Baskel came out and said, wait a minute, this is my decision, not yours. You have no right to put Shlomo HaMelech on the list. We discussed that last week. Then the other Tana disagrees. The Gemara says, three lines from the bottom, Dorsha Rishumas disagree. They hold that that all of these people have Olam Mabo, and they quote the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Samach, whether is there such a thing as these people not having a chelik olam habo? The Neymar has in Kufayim et Aleph, the Neymar quotes from the Novi is giving a drosha to the Bnei Yisrael, they should do tshuva. We just discussed the Gemara a little bit. There's a safe increases again. Then Bnei Yisrael, when the Novi is complaining to Bnei Yisrael, do tshuva, so Bnei Yisrael say, we can't control our Yetzirah. So the Bnei Shalom says, the Novi says in the name of Bnei, what do you mean you can't control? You have Bechira Chavshis, control yourself, do tshuva, control your Yetzirah. So the Gemara finally says, it's right towards the end of the narrow lines on Kuf Hayim and Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Lahem Novi Yisrael Chizra B'Tshuva." Novi tells the Gemara is quoting all these Nevi'im, Yirmiyah and Zechariah and Yeshayah. They're always telling Bnei Yisrael do Tshuva. So they say, "Eren Yecholim Yetzahar Shalut Bana." We can't control the Yetzahar. Amar Lahem. So the Novi tells them, "Yisur Yisreichem Yab Chir Chapshes, control yourself." Amrullah. He said, "They retort back this pasuk in Yeshayah." Amrulo, Elokov Yoreinu. The Rebbeinu Shalom has to teach us, he has to train us how to control the Yetzer. We can't control on our own. So the Gemara says that was an acceptable response that Bnei Yisrael said. We need a siyaita d'shmaita to learn how to control the Yetzer. That's how the Gemara says in Sukkah that the Yetzer Shalom is Gabarada b'chol yom. Misgaber Allah b'chol yom. Yetzer becomes stronger every day, figures out a new kunz. Yesterday we knew how to control the Yetzer, but today there's going to be a new chachma the Yetzer is going to have. We don't have a siyaita d'shmaita, we won't succeed in controlling the Yetzer. Fine, people have chira chavshis, but it's still very difficult. You have to have elokov yoreinu. The Rebbeinu Shalom has to show us the way, has to teach us how to control the Yetzer. Okay, now Gemara's going back to the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said that there were three machlokes haTorah. The Mishnah says there were three malachim and four non-malachim from Tanakh. There were more, but there are three malachim from Tanakh and the four non-malachim had yoytis, who are not going to have chelik and olam haba. And the three malachim, who were they? There was Menashe, was a machlokes haTanaim in the Mishnah, and Achav, and Yerobim ben Nevot. And the four had yoytis, the Gemara lists off on Kufayim and Aleph, Abilam doig achi teifel and gechazi. So the Gemara goes into dissertation, Aleph Rishon is on Gain and Gehenim, that refers to Eilu Poshi Yisrael, the Yiddish Rishon. Kol Goyim Shchech Elim goes on all the Yomus Toilam. All the Nochrim are going to go to Gehenim. They have no Shaykhs in Olam Haba. That's Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer was shot. And did Reb Lezer. Reb Yeshua says, no, it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Kol Goyim Shchech Elim. Those who don't believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom, they're going to go to Gehenim. If you have a Nochrim who do believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom, they have not forgotten about him, so they're not going to go to Gehenim. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah obviously is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that we don't right away write off all the Yom HaSoilim, that they're all going to go to Gehenim. Only those who are Shechei Elohim, those who are not, are going to go to Olam Haba. We'll have up this some Olam Haba. So Bilam is singled out from all the Nochrim, that he's not going to have Olam Haba. Then the Gemara has famous Agaritas. It's a pasuk that says, Vayelcha Ziknei Moyav V'Ziknei Midyon. So the Gemara says they never got along. They were always waging wars against each other. Now all of a sudden when it comes to the Eden, they made shalom. So Gemara says, yeah, because they realized if they're not going to join together, they thought the Eden would be wipe out one of them and then wipe out the other one. So they thought that the Eden were not interested in wiping anybody out. We just want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We didn't want to wipe out all the Yom HaSoil. But that's what they were petrified. So that's why they made peace and they joined together. Then Gemara has about Lina Pohalailo, that Bilam said, Lina Pohalailo, so the Ziknei, it says, Vayesh was Sari Moyav in Palam. What happened to the, I'm going to go to Olam Haba. We'll have after some Olam Haba. So Bilam is singled out from all the Nochrim that he's not going to have Olam Haba. Then the Gemara has famous Agaritas. It's a pasuk that says, Vayelcha Ziknei Moyav V'Ziknei Midyon. So the Gemara says they never got along. They were always waging wars against each other. Now all of a sudden when it comes to the Eden, they made shalom. So Gemara says, yeah, because they realized if they're not going to join together, they thought the Eden would be wipe out one of them and then wipe out the other one. So they thought that the Eden were not interested in wiping anybody out. We just want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We didn't want to wipe out all the Yom HaSoil. But that's what they were petrified. So that's why they made peace and they joined together. Then Gemara has about Lina Pohalailo, that Bilam said, Lina Pohalailo, so the Ziknei, it says, Vayesh was Sari Moyav in Palam. What happened to the Sari Midyon? He just said that they made peace and they both came together. So how come it only says that they stayed over, the others apparently disappeared? Hech knows where they go. So the Gemara says, once you said Lina Pohalailo, so they realized this is a fake. What? The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to... The Rebbeinu Shalom is the father of the Klal Yisrael. We are Bonam Lamachim, Kulmi Eshav, Shesani, Esbeno. The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to give permission to Bilam to curse the Jewish people? Of course not. It's ridiculous. What kind of lina po halayla? Nothing is going to come out of this. So they left. Then the Gemara goes weiter. I got to tell you that Bilam. The Gemara says that even though he was a Navi, but he was quite a mushkas. He practiced Mishka Behema and he used to do other things. The last line, the Gemara has one opinion. Koisim ba moso hayom. And his Eva Hazakrus, he used to use some kind of kishuf, mala bizchur, all kinds of crazy things. There's no stira. A person can be have a nevuah, And it can be a mashkos of the highest level. The Gemara has the famous comment of the Yadea Das Elyon on the top of Kufem Beis. Everybody knows this from Gemara Brachas, Dav Zayin. What do you mean Yadea Das Elyon? He didn't even know how to guess what his behema was going to say. If he couldn't even predict what his behema was going to say, because the behema responded to him. So he didn't think that the Osam was going to blurt out the truth. Askein his kanti that he practiced Mishka Behema with the Behema. So if he couldn't figure out what the Behema is going to respond, how is he going to know what the Rabbanu Shalom is going to say? What do you mean? V'yadea das elyon. What kind of baloney is that? The Gemara says, no, the Pasuk says, Kel zoyim v'chol yoyim. Rabbanu Shalom gets angry every day. And how much every day does he get angry? What percentage of the day? Kirega biyapoy, just a rega, just split second. The Gemara says in Brochas, how long is the split second? So the Gemara says, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word, rega. The Gemara says, rega kim emrei. Kirega biyapoy, how long is that rega kim emrei? The amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word. So Bilam's expertise was, he was able to figure out exactly when that rega was, and this time, from the time that he started negotiating, Bilam started negotiating with the Sarei Midyan, till the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the whole time the Rabbanu Shalom did not get angry at all. That's the Gemara quotes from Micha. Ami zechor nama yod Balak melech moyov. Keep in mind, remember what Balak tried to do, what Bilam tried to do. L'mandas tizkas Hashem. What's l'mandas tizkas Hashem? You should realize how much the Rabbanu Shalom loves you, that he wasn't in kaas the whole time. From the beginning of the incident with Bilam till he entered Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanu Shalom was not in kaas. If he would have been koyish, they would have been wiped out. That's what the Tosfos there in Brachas asked the famous kasha and Dav Zayin. They says, what can he say already in one split second? How much can you curse already in one split second? So Tyson has one answer. He could say Kalem. He could look at Bnei Yisrael and say Kalem. Then he have another answer that as long as he begins the Klala, as long as he starts the Klala within that split second, he can continue to finish the Klala even later. That's what some poskim write, that you see from that Tyson, that whenever there's a Zman that's needed for something, we have a Zman Kriyashma, we have a Zman Tfilo. So you don't have to finish the whole Kriyashma within the Zman. You don't have to finish the Shmanes within the Zman. As long as you begin within the Zman, that's good enough. So someone once told us over to Rav Soloveitchik, so he thought that it was a joke. He didn't make any comment, he just burst out into laughter. He said, what kind of a raya was that? But a few achrenim bring that right. I think Yorach HaShulchan, a few others bring that right. From the Tesis. That whenever there's a Zman, so the Zman is just on the beginning of what you're doing. It doesn't have to go on the whole. So that's what the Gemara says. When is that split second? The Gemara says, Emas Rosach, when is that split second? The split second that the Rabbanu Shalom gets angry is always in the first 3 hours of the day when the people wake up and they're bowing down to the sun. The sun is beginning to rise. Or the Gemara says there that the kings, B'nai Malachim, wake up b'shor shlishis, they sleep late in the morning. They're the last ones to get out of bed, so they put on their crowns and the big day malchus, and then they bow down to the sun. So the Rabbanu Shalom gets very angry about that. With all of this malchus, that they bow down to the sun, they don't realize that I'm the creator of the world. So the Gemara said that's when the Rabbanu Shalom gets angry. Then the Gemara says there's one of the Amorim, Rabbi Shlomo Levi, had a lot of Agmas Nefesh from an Apikur, from a Min. A Min means one of the Christians. One of the Christians, an Apikuris, gave him a hard time. So he didn't know how to become Pata from him. So he wanted to curse the Apikuris. So he wanted to do the same Chachma that Bilam did. But Bilam was Yadea Das Elyon. He knew how to figure out when the split second is, when the Baruch Shalom gets angry. But Rabbi Shlomo Levi didn't have this knowledge that Bilam had. So he knew that if you look at the roosters, what is it, the cock on top of the rooster, so when it turns totally white and you don't even see any red streaks at all, so that's the second that the Rabbanu Shalom is in kass. So he tied a rooster to his bed. He was going to sit and watch the whole time, and when it's going to turn white, then he was going to curse this min that he should drop dead. And then punkten kimatu hu shaitan minne. The Gemara has on the first wide line. The same story in Brachas. He fell asleep. fell asleep and he missed it. So he's going to have to do the same shtick tomorrow morning to wait for the split second. So Shmamino, he understood on his own, Zlav Arachar, it's not Derech Eretz, even though the Min is giving him a hard time, gave him a lot of Agmas Nefesh, it's not a good idea, because the Pasuk Mishli says, Gam Anosh LaTzadik Lo Tov. It's not proper that someone should be nenash because of a tzaddik. The tzaddik should be mispal, unless it's mamish, kol akitzin. So you should suffer a little bit more with the epicurus. You shouldn't curse. Okay. The Baruch Shalom will do it. Baruch Shalom will do it, but it's not right that we should do it. Yeah. It's not proper that we should give the clothes. Then the Gemara talks about the fact that Bilam HaRosha brought karbonas. These karbonas were not really l'shem shamayim. It was really he wanted to butter up the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should give him reshus to be mekalel b'nei Yisrael. But sof kol sof he did bring the karbonas. So this is a b'china of li'olam yasakad matar mitzvah safidu shelo l'shma shemitoch shelo l'shma bo l'shma. The person should always do mitzvahs even shelo l'shma. Why? Because as a reward for the 42 karbonas, Rashi gives you the cheshbon. Where does it say there were 42 karbonas? Because there was three times that he brought 14 karbonas. Each time he brought shivas porim and shivas elam. He brought 14 karbonas on three different occasions. It adds up to 42. So the 42 karbonas that Balak, Melech Maya brought, were not so much at all the shem shamayim. And nonetheless, he was rewarded v'yotzim imen arus. That Rus HaMayavir was a descendant from Balak Melech Moyo. This is a problem because the Tosfos and Psochim, Rashi and Tosfos and the different Mesichtas, they're bothered with a stira. This Gemara says, v'yolam yaskanam tarmitz ha'pidu shalod shmo, there's nothing terrible about it. The other Gemara says, whoever learns Torah shalod shmo, noyach lo, it would have been preferable, ilenepcha shil yosa alpono, that when he was in state of an embryo, He should have been aborted. He should have died before he was born, because one learns Torah Shelo Lishma is the worst thing you can have. So it's a chastira. One Gemara says that it's not so bad at all. We recommend it li'olam. That's our Chaim Volozhiner says li'olam. Even for adults, not only for little children. You promise we're going to give him a candy, give him some money, whatever. Going to give him covered. Even for adults, also we recommend you should do Torah Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. V'tel Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. It's not so bad. And the other Gemara says that it's terrible. So Rashi and Taisha say there are two different madregas of Shelo Lishma. If the person wants Lekanter, if he wants to become a Talmid Chacham, he wants people to give him Kavod, he wants to make a Parnasa, that's one level of Shelo Lishma. That's not really proper. But that's not, the world doesn't come to an end. Mitoch Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma. It's not so big. We would even recommend that people should do it. But if he's learning Torah in order to show up the others, that they don't know, that he's the only one who knows and the others don't know, that's terrible. So that's the problem over here. All the 42 karbonas that Balak brought, the 42 karbonas that he sponsored, that was mamish lekanter. He wanted to wipe out the klal yisrael. He wanted to butter up the Ribbono Shel Olam with his. He thought he's going to butter up the Ribbono Shel Olam by bringing him the karbonas, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will agree to punish the bnei yisrael. So mamish lekanter. So how can they quote the memra of liolam yasakon matar mitzvah shalom lishma? It's problematic. Problematic. Then it seems has a different suggestion. He gives a different teretz. Rashi and Tosfos give that answer. The difference between the two different kinds of Shelo Lishma. Then it seems has in all of his svarim, he has his own teretz. He says it depends if you're learning Vasishtet or you're saying Chidushin. And mitzvah also depends. Are you doing a mitzvah that you have to do? You have to wear a talus, you have to dam, you have to say Krishna. So you're doing a Shelo Lishma. You're learning Vasishtet, so you're doing a Shelo Lishma. That's one thing. But if you're founding a shul, you're starting a new yeshiva, you're writing a sefer, you're saying a chiddush, you're saying an original shtikl Torah, so that has to be purely lishma. Whenever it's an original, whenever it's a chiddush, it has to be lishma. So he interprets all the Gemara, he fits in all the Gemaras like that. He thinks that that's the yeshu to the steer in the two Gemaras. He has it in his tshuvas and his various svarim as his suggestion. Then the Gemara has a discussion, an interesting discussion. In the beginning of Sefer Melachim, it says that when they were blessing David HaMelech, David HaMelech said they should go appoint Shlomo HaMelech as the new king. So they gave a bracha for Shlomo HaMelech. Yita velekim Hashem Shlomo mishimcha. Your son should steigiver. Your son Shlomo HaMelech should be greater than you. The Rabbanu Shlomo should make his kingdom greater than your kingdom. Is that their heret? That David HaMelech is still alive, and the Gita Bracha, that he should be greater. So the Gemara suggests soon, yeah, Bakol Adam Eskani Chutz B'Minovi Talmidoi, B'Nomi Shlomo. Yeah, that David HaMelech would be very happy. Normal fathers are very happy when their children steigiver their fathers. They're very happy to brag about the fact that their children are greater than they are. They know how to learn better. They're more Yirei Shamayim. They're more medaktik mitzvah. Some normal parents are happy about that. Sometimes a person is not happy. Is asimin is nishke mensh. Bakol odom if he's a mensh. Bakol odom is nishke mensh. Then be mekane his own children. So the Gemara says perhaps the answer is bakol odom is kane chutz b'menai. That's the answer. Originally the Gemara gave a different suggestion. The Gemara said maybe it means me ein ko amrolei. That when they said to David HaMelech, Yitav Elokim Hashem Shlomo Mishimcha, Mishimcha means a mayain. The popularity that you had in the great kingdom that you have, your son Shlomo should have a miktsas of that. That's how the Gemara gave a suggestion. And they said, perhaps that's the pshat and the other posuk also, and Shira's Devarim when she says, Yoel Esh is Chevra Keni killed Sisra. So Devarim said in her poem, in Shira's Devarim, Tevorach minoshim yoel esh es chavakeni. Minoshim ba'oihal tevorach. Who are the noshim ba'oihal? So the Gemara says, noshim ba'oihal, who is that? Manino, so Rivka rochav aleiha. And Rashi quotes the psukim, it says, by each one of them, the word ohel, by Yitzchak ha'ohelo, sora imo. So it says the expression ohel both on Rivka and on Sora. By Yivyeha Yitzchak ha'ohelo, so Rivka goes on both. And then hine ba'oihal. And it says by all four of the Emoras. So how do you translate the words Tevorach Minoshin? Minoshin Boel Tevorach Yoel Eishes Chevra Keni deserves a greater bracha, a greater Yashikoyach than all of the Emoras. That's what it means, Minoshin Boel, greater than the Emoras. So the Gemara thought, no, the Mem doesn't mean me, it means Mayain. Part of the covet that we give, the reverence that we give to the Dalai Emoras, we should give part of that to Yoel, but not to give more. So maybe over here the word mem, Yitav Elokim Shem Shlomo Mishimcha, Yigadol Eskisa Mikisacha, Mikisacha doesn't mean he should be greater than you. He should have a mayain of the covet. So that's the first suggestion the Gemara has. And then the Gemara gave the second suggestion, no, Bakol Amoskane, Chutz Mibno. The father, David HaMelech, would be very happy if this would be Mekuyim, that his son Shlomo should steigiver, his malchus should be greater than his. And then the Gemara says, how do you know Talmidoi? Bakolam Eskane Chutzmi Talmidoi. So the Gemara gives two suggestions. One suggestion is that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to put Samachtes Yotcholov, and it says Vismachas Yodovolov. He was only commanded to put one hand, and he gives the Smicha Biyad to Yeshua, and then he gave both hands. The Ayin Tov he gave more than the Rabbi Shalom commanded him. Why? Because he was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's not Miskane. Moshe Rabbeinu would be very happy to give him the Ayin Tov. That's one suggestion. Then the Gemara gave the other suggestion from Elisha. Elisha requested of Eliyahu Hanavi, v'hina pishnayim beruchacho Eloi. He requested of Eliyahu Hanavi that he should have twice the koyach hanavuah that Eliyahu Hanavi had. What kind of a chutzpah is that to ask of Eliyahu Hanavi twice the koyach hanavuah? So you see, the answer is that he was a close talmid of Eliyahu Hanavi. Bakol adam eskani chutz mitalmido. He wouldn't feel insulted if his Talmud Elisha would get twice the Koyach HaNevuah. That's how the Chazal understood the Pasuk. Pishnai means twice. We mentioned on different occasions that the conservative movement, they have a whole tshuva, l'haloche, aganse psak, that you have a right to change all the laws of the Torah, just like Hillel changed with the Prusbel. Everybody has a right to change. So part of the whole story is that the rabbis changed the Pishnai. That originally the din of Pishnayim, what does it mean? Elisha Navi is asking for twice the Koyach HaNevuah of Eliyahu Navi. That's absurd. What the Gemara says, that's absurd. So they say, no, Pishnai means two-thirds. So the Pchor gets Pishnai means if a man dies and he leaves 10 sons, the Pchor gets two-thirds. And the rabbis and the lady years realize that's absurd. How can you give the Pchor two-thirds? You're just going to divide one-third again with the other 9 sons? That can't be. So they decided to change it in a later generation. They said Pishnai means you treat him as if he were two sons. So if a man dies and he leaves 10 sons and one is a Pchor, you treat it as if he had 11 sons. And the Pchor gets two 11s. Instead of getting 1/10, because there are 10 sons and each one should get 1/10, you treat the Pchor as if he were two sons and as if you have 11 portions, he gets two 11s. So they say that was a later enactment. The rabbis changed it. There's mamish, no shred of evidence whatsoever, mamish, from thin air, the Baal Kishon. They invented this whole idea from thin air, that Pishnaim, the true pshat in Pishnaim is 2/3, and the rabbis in the later generations changed the whole pshat with their abundance. So you see that they can change. Even if it were true that they changed it, it's dini mamonis. So the Gemara says, in dini mamonis, you can change whatever you want because hefke bezna hefke. What's the problem? But the shad, how can you change an isa v'hefke? And koach laka v'kumli, I say, the whole thing is a late sonis. And but the Gemara has in quite a few places. The Pishnaim is to be taken literally. Elisha Navi had twice the Kerach HaNevuah of Eliyahu HaNavi. The Gemara says earlier in the Masechta, where did you see that he had twice the Kerach HaNevuah? Eliyahu HaNavi was on Mechaya one mace, and Elisha was Mechaya two mace. The Gemara goes into a whole dissertation, a whole discussion. Who were the two mace and what happened exactly? So the Gemara here also understands. Pishnaim doesn't mean 2/3. It means twice the Kerach HaNevuah. I thought it's also the same thing. I don't know. Then the Gemara talks about all the brachas that Bilam Harosha gave to Klal Yisrael. The one brachas also has. He really intended to give klolas. And by Yafach Hashem l'cholas haklola l'bracha, so the Rabban Shalom controlled him, as it says, by Yosem Hashem, how does the pasuk say? By Yosem Dova b'fi Bilam, the Baruch Hashem controlled Bilam. He didn't let him say what he wanted to say. He wanted to give all klolas. Baruch Hashem didn't let him. So everything turned out to be a bracha. And the Gemara says, and most of the brachas that he gave weren't mekuyim. Vayafach Hashem alakech lecho es haklola lebracha. One klola was converted into a bracha, and that bracha lasted liyon avoy. That he wanted to give a klola. We should not be successful in establishing what the kinesias of Bata Midrasha is. So vayafach Hashem lecho es haklola levracha, he said, matovu alecha yankiv, alecha goes on a holy, but the midrash is but the kinesias, so that bracha was mekuyim li'on avoid. And every corner there's another base medrash, and another yeshiva, look in Flatbush. That bracha was mekuyim throughout all the generations. But all the other brachas that Bilam gave were not mekuyim li'on, because he really didn't want to give brachas, he really wanted to give klolas. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishle, three lines from the bottom. Ne'aman in pitzei ohei v'netoris neshika soine. When a good friend gives a tachacha, it's better when you get musa from a dear friend than when you get a kiss from a person who's a soine. That achi ashi loyne given ayid, and he mentally toiv asteinu, and he egigat maklole. How does the Gemara quotes the last line? V'ika Hashem esisol kashiyona hakona ba'mayim v'geva klole to the Klal Yisrael. So it turned out the klolah that he gave was really a bracha. Because a kona grows in water and it's always gizomachlush and everything turned out l'toivah. And v'natoris neshika soinei, the kisses that the soinei gave, Bilam was really a soinei. He hated the yidna. He really wanted to give klolah. So Rabban Shalom controlled them. He made everything come out to be a bracha, but the bracha is a nishgitoik. Even though it came out of bracha, it didn't work well. Then the Gemara says, when Bilam was looking around to see, he's giving his nevuah, but 10 lines from the top of Kuvav Manal. So the Gemara says, Vayavis Akeni. And he says, Esam Moshevecho. So Rashi explains in the Gemara, Esam Moshevecho. How did all of a sudden Keni, the descendants from Yisro, it says, Keni Chosein Moshe. Keni Chosein Moshe, that was Yisro. How did they get Esa Moshevecha? How did they're on the top of everything? The descendants from Yisrael, they're sitting in the Beznagodl and the Lishkas Hagazis, and they're making Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. Look what's going on over here. How were they zeched to all of this? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Divrei Yom, that B'nai Keni, Yoshei Lishkas Hagazis, Yoshei Yavetz, and so on. How were they zeched to all of this? We were all together with Paro, when Paro wanted to make the Gzeret. The Gemara quotes Shlosha Hoy Biosa Eitzah. Elohim Bilam Iyov and Yisro. They were all consulted when Paro was interested in killing the Jews. So Bilam was punished, And Yisrael made it so big. What happened over here? We were all involved in the same thing. Moshe says, yeah, we're all involved, but they gave different eitzes. Bilam sheyoatz, he gave an eitz, he was maskin with Paro. He said, oh, you want to kill all the Jews? So maskin, go kill all the Jews. Even though he was not really keen about it, but that's what he said to Paro. He said, under duress, kill all the Jews. So that's why he was punished. He was Nehrag. And then Yisrael ran away. Yisrael was Barach. He didn't even want to be maskin under duress. He ran away not to be involved at all. So Zoch b'nei Bonav, Leishab b'mishkas ha-gozis. That's how the Gemara says. Then the Gemara has the famous Agarata. What was the suggestion that Bilam gave? He says, "Hinene ha'ilach li'ami l'cho yotzcha esa shi'asa ha'am azeh li'amcha." He didn't really mean ashi'asa ha'am li'amcha. He meant, I'll give you an advice what you should do to the Jewish people. How can you wipe out the Jewish people? So he told Balak, Melech Moav, Elokim shaleilu seine zimahu. The God of the Jewish people can't stand preetzes. All you have to do is make preetzes and the Baruch Shalom be misalek shchinosei mi Yisrael. The Pasuk says, in the Jewish army, Kashem elokech misalek bekerem machanech alatzi lecha, so it says, if the Rebbe Shlomo will see preaches, if we'll see Erbaz Dover, he'll be Mesalek Shechinasai. So that's what Bilam suggests. So get the Jews involved in Znus, and the Rebbe Shlomo will be Mesalek Shechinasai. How are you going to get them involved in Znus, but then Nizar on that? So he says, yeah, but the Yidna are very makbar and kveid ha'adam. They like to wear nice clothing. They want to look like a mensch, they don't want to look sloppy. So he says, the Hamas Sabin Makle Pishtim, the Yidin like to dress properly, so open up stores. So they open up stores all over the place. So the whole border where the Yidin were in contact with Moab, they had stores where they were selling clothing. So they had an old witch, a meis, ugly looking witch outside selling the clothing. And when the Yidin passed by and they said, how much does it sell for? So she said, $100 a suit. So there's a woman and they had a good looking shiksa inside. So she said, I'll sell you the same suit for $95. So the one outside says, okay, I'll sell it to you for $90. So the one inside says, I'll sell it to you for $85. It went on two or three times until the guy finally hears. The one inside is offering the same good merchandise for less money. Now, the Eden always want a bargain. That's for sure. Why should I pay $100? I get the same thing for $85. They keep on bargaining down the line. So he goes inside and he finds the good-looking shiksa inside. The whole thing was a gimmick, in order to get them to see the pretty zayin inside. Then the pretty zayin says, look at all the merchandise, have a seat, look whatever you want, I'll give you everything on sale. And then she says, look, you're a good customer, I see you're interested in buying, have a drink. And they gave the wine, and the Gemara has the lashon, the first wide line, and the prohibition against drinking stam yena wasn't yet introduced. So that they would drink the wine, and the wine was very powerful, and then he would have a yetzahara. And then he wanted to be Mizana with the Zayna, and then she said, only if you worship Avodah Zarah. That's how they got them involved in worshiping the Avodah Zarah on that occasion. On this Gemara, there's a very strange, a famous machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam quotes this Gemara to demonstrate, the Rambam holds that Stam Yenem is a Gzera Derabbanah, but Yayin Nesach is an Issa Deraisa. So he quotes the Pasuk, Yishtu Yenesichon. Yishtu Yenesichon is a description of the Avodah Zarah guzzling down the wine. It's not a description of the Jew drinking the wine that was its nasach b'fnei avodah zarah. It's a problematic Rambam. So the Rambam holds that that's the Rambam. He has it in the Sefer HaMitzvos and he repeats it in the Mishnah Torah. He said that's an isa deraisa to drink yai nesa. So the Rambam says that that's what the story means over here. But dain la nesa yai and shal nachrim, they're on the first very wide line on kufav and nala. He says yai and shal nachrim means yai and nesach shenis nasach l'avodah zarah. What do you mean about Dain Lai Nesar? He says the mitzvahs weren't given all at Har Sinai, all in 1 second. It took 40 years till Moshe Rabbeinu said over all the dinim. He didn't pekulize everything the same day. So this din that you're not allowed to drink Yishtu Yein Sicham was only said to Moshe Rabbeinu, only told it to Bnei Yisrael at a later time. That's how the Rambam translates this Gemara. And the Ramban says, what are you talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu, I think he had all the 613 mitzvahs. Of course he told them right away. What's he going to wait till the end of the 40 years to tell him a din that you're not allowed to drink Yayin Nesach? No, the Ramban says, Adayin Lanesa, Yayin Shonach, goes on Stam Yayinam. Does it? the Rabbanon. And the Ramban says Yai Nesach is also only the Rabbanon. There is no Issa Deraisa. Who says there's a difference in Yai Nesach, Shinis Nasach, Lavo Dezar, and Stam Yenam? Stam Yenam, the Yasid Bahano, Stam Yenam, the Yasid because of Chasnus, that it may lead to intermarriage. It's the same reason why the Yasid Bisholakim, the same reason why the Yasid Pasakim. But Pasakim Bisholakim is only Yasid Bishtir. It's Mutta Bano. Why did the Yasid Stam Yenam Bano? Because of the Chashash, maybe they were Menasachit. But the Ramban holds that the whole din, if they're Menasachit, it's also Bashtir Bano. The whole thing is only with the Rabbanah. Everything is with the Rabbanah. So the Ramban says, the Gemara means, Vadai Lainesa Yayin Shanachim, the Chachamim still didn't introduce the Gzeir of the Rabbanon of Stam Yainam. They didn't introduce the Gzeir of the Rabbanon of Yayin Nesach. Everything is only with the Rabbanon. He denies that there is such a din. The Raisa, that it's also to drink Yayin Nesach. So the Rambam, I don't understand why, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says, that's what it means in the Gemara. Vadai Lainesa Yayin Shanachim, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was already given a Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell it over to Bnei Yisrael yet. How does it fit into the words? I don't understand how it fits into the words, Pasha. The Gemara has a Machlekes Amaroim. Vayeshev Yisrael B'Shitim. Shitim is the name of the place. Machlekes Ablezer Rabbi Shua. So Ablezer says that's the name of the city, Shitim. And Rabbi Shua says, no, that's a nickname. That they did Mashenesaske B'Divrei Shtus. And similarly, there's a machlekes Berefidim. When Amalek came to Refidim, so Rav Lezer said that Refidim is the name of the city. Rav Shua says, no, Sherof Ratzma Medivrei Torah. Refidim doesn't mean, it's not the name of the city, it's a nickname. Sherof Ratzma Medivrei Torah. Then the Gemara quotes on the top of Kuvav and Beis, and one quotes the Pasuk in Tilim. Anshi Domim Mimirma Lo Yechzi Yemein. Ani Eftach Bo. Pasuk in Tilim. What do you mean Lo Yechzi Yemein? So the Pasuk says in Tilim, Yemei Shana Sehna Behem Shivim Shana. That the average life of the person is 70 years, that's Alpidin. So we have Halacha, let's say, when does a person become a Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah? When you have Yud Bei Shana V'Yamechot, or Yud Gimel Shana V'Yamechot, which day Cyrus? What if the person never has the Shtei Cyrus? He remains a cotton for the rest of his life. The Amir V'Yesem Shana remains a cotton. So the Halacha says in Nidin, the Gemara says, no, he gil, the Rosh Naisav, once he's over the hill, he's already passed halfway through his life, so he gil, the Rosh Naisav becomes an honorary Bar Mitzvah, becomes a Godel. So when is that? That's 35. Because Shnoisa, Meshen, and Seder, Behem, Shivim, Shana. That's a Halachic statement, that the average life of a person, the 70, it doesn't matter, even though medicine has advanced and people live much longer, the Halacha still says that Higil Rosh Noisav is when he enters into the 36th year, when he's past 35 years. The din is that when a woman does Chalitza, Chalitza's Ketana is no good, the Chalitza has to be, she has to be a Gedolah. So what are you going to be Boidik to see if she has Shtei Cyrus? Maybe the reason why she didn't have any children is because she's a Ketana. Maybe they say, how do you know that any woman is able to do chalitza? So it depends who. So unfortunately now in Eretz Yisrael, they have young almonis. The husbands are killed in the army. They're 18, 19, 20 years old. You have young almonis who are having chalitza. Usually a woman has chalitza, she's 85 years old. She was married for 60 years and never had any children. So you look at the woman, you see, obviously she's over 35. So so usually when you have a chalitza, so the Mesara Chalitza has to tell all the people that the woman is a Gdolah. So I remember on one occasion my father was doing a Chalitza. So he said in Yiddish, he didn't want to hurt the woman's feelings. So he said in Yiddish to all the Talmidim and the Beis Medrash that the woman is obviously over 35, so we don't have to be biting for Shtei Saris because he gil Rosh Noisav is a Gdolah. Chalitza's Ketan is no good. So the Gemara quotes this Pasuk. Hanshi Domim Mimrim Ola Yachzimei. So the Gemara says that Bilam, based on this, the Gemara says Bilam must have died before the age of 35. They won't live till Rosh Noisav. So the Gemara says, yeah, they found Pinkos, they found a historical document that says that Bilam died at the age of 33. Then the Gemara quotes the same pasuk later on the daf, Vaita, the same thing, that Doyeg and Achitofel, here, four lines from the bottom, Doyeg and Achitofel also died at the age of 33, 34, based on the same pasuk. Lo yechzi imeim. It's not shaychzi. They cannot live till Rosh Nisa. They're going to die before the age of 30.
Bilam gave the eight. He must
must have lived over 210 years. That's what Rashi, yes, Rashi said that's a different opinion, right? Rashi says that the one who said it on and off, that he was involved in the original Eitz, that was the beginning of the 210 years of the Shiva. Sefta says that the Esa Makas was spread out over Yud Beis Chodesh. Everyone, they were cut. There were 3 weeks of Hasra, and then finally...